What if, as a society, we could 3D print our way out of poverty? That's one possible science fiction scenario from a new novel. Techonomics host Jason Middleton talks with an author about utopian societies and walking away from the collapse of capitalism.
Hi, and welcome back to Techonomics. Thanks for listening. Pondering the future, that's a recurring theme around here, from automation and robot labor to where the gigs are going to be. This time, we put a fictional spin on things with a futurist slash author. Cory Doctorow's new novel, Walk Away, is a tale of an augmented, fractured society where rules are tough to justify. Here's the second paragraph from the book jacket. Now that anyone can manufacture food, clothing, or shelter with equipment comparable to a computer printer, well, there seems to be little reason to stick with the world of rules and jobs. So, like hundreds of thousands of others in the mid-21st century, the three of them walk away, end quote. Here's another glance from the author.
What cleaves a dystopia from a utopia is not whether things sometimes go wrong. It's what we do when they go wrong. Do people rise to the occasion or do they turn on each other? And that is in large part a function of how people conduct themselves when things are going well. If we are convinced in everyday society that we have no shared mutual destiny, that your benefit is my loss, then when things go wrong, I'm apt to think that you're coming over to my house with a shotgun instead of a covered dish.
Another example, Walk Away's protagonist has 20 names to throw off the search engines and databases. Here's part one of two of my chat with the author, who is also co-editor of BoingBoing.net.
Cory Doctorow, author, journalist, activist.
Could we add optimist?
You can add optimist, or at least hopeful person.
Hopeful person. Very cool. Yeah. You have a new book, Walk Away. It's your new novel. How long has it been since your last one?
Well, it's my first adult novel since 2009. That was Makers. I've been writing young adult novels in the intervening decade and graphic novels and lots of other things, nonfiction books, essay collections, short story collections, and even collaborative novels for adults with other people. But this is my first solo adult novel since 2009.
I do want to get into the Walk Away, some of the storyline, but I'm wondering just... Your approach seems to be something that's rather unique. I went to school, English major, couldn't do very much math, right? I read a lot of dystopian novels. Well, actually, Brave New World was something I based an entire speech on once that I had to give to the college. So can you tell me why you think that you have shifted away from dystopian futurist looks and societies? Because you're world building in a much different way than I'm used to.
Yeah, you know, I think that we have a misconception about dystopia and utopia, that we mistake the set dressing for the underlying character, because a dystopia is not a place where things have gone wrong. I mean, even the best ordered societies have things go wrong. You know, you can set yourself up really well, but you'll still have earthquakes and floods and belligerent neighbors and, you know, people whose gut flora mutate in unexpected ways and, you know, meteor strikes and rising seas. So what cleaves a dystopia from a utopia is not whether things sometimes go wrong. It's what we do when they go wrong. Do people rise to the occasion or do they turn on each other? And that is in large part a function of how people conduct themselves when things are going well. If we are convinced in everyday society that we have no shared mutual destiny, that your benefit is my loss, then when things go wrong, I'm apt to think that you're coming over to my house with a shotgun instead of a covered dish.
Right.
And so really, a utopia is any place where in extremis, people do the right thing. You know, it's not a utopia to do tons of subprime lending, even though people were very happy when it was working, because it fails really gracelessly. Mm-hmm. And so Walk Away, it's a utopian novel in as much as it's about a society that fails very well.
I try to tell my child that ethics are what you do when people are not looking. Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned, I can't benefit unless you lose something, right? Mm-hmm. My immediate thing went off in my brain. My keyword search was capitalism. Mm-hmm. In several ways. And the pitchforks and this income inequality that we've been dealing with as a world now, is that something that was on your mind as you were fleshing this one out?
Sure, yeah. I had a few pole stars when I was writing this book. One was San Francisco writer Rebecca Solnit's book, A Paradise Built in Hell, which is all about people being kind to each other in times of disaster and rich people refusing to believe that it's going on. But the other one was Thomas Piketty's Capital in the 21st Century. And Piketty is a believer in market capitalism. He thinks that it is the best way to incentivize people to increase the general welfare by using competition to nudge them into improving things. But he also thinks that it has a failure, which is that over time, having money is the best way to get richer as opposed to making awesome things. You know, he contrasts these three different people. One is Bill Gates, who had founded the most successful company in the history of the world. And one was Lillian Betancourt, who's the heiress of the L'Oreal fortune, who's never done a day's work in her life. And Bill Gates made less money founding the most successful company in the history of the world than she did simply by being born over the same period. But the third party he compares is Bill Gates after he retired and became an investor. And Bill Gates is an investor who, again, was not making things, merely funding things, made more money than he did by making things. Hmm. And Piketty concludes that in the absence of some non-market mechanism, he proposes a 1% global wealth tax, that over time, wealth disparity always increases, and that this is furthermore socially destabilizing, that it causes a collapse. And his touchstone is always the, you know, France in 1789, which I think Americans sometimes it goes over their head, but for French people, that's when they started building guillotines, right? And he thinks that unless the great and the good voluntarily agree to some redistributive mechanism, that eventually the wealth disparity that arises will destabilize society so much. And, you know, he talks about in part like just the feeling of unfairness of knowing that the deck is stacked against you. And we just had an election that was all about people's resentment about the sense of unfairness. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, there's this other piece, which is that when power concentrates into a few hands, their wise decisions become much more easy to enact, but so do their foolish beliefs. And so if the great and the good are climate deniers, or, you know, if you look to Saudi Arabia, where the great and the good think that excluding 52% of the population from civic life is good for their national wealth, you know, some of those women who are not in civic life in Saudi are waiting to discover the cure for pancreatic cancer or a new kind of solar battery. And instead, they are themselves denied access to the polity. Or in Russia, LGBT people who are being hounded to death could instead be finding new transport mechanisms or some other amazing thing that would improve all of our lives. And so this is destabilizing because it robs our future of the contributions that each of us have, leaving aside the moral question of the discrimination and the unfairness of it. Even if you say, well, unfairness, it comes with a package, suck it up, buttercup. There's just the fact that your society will eventually become more primitive and more sidelined as the contradictions of denial of the very rich become more and more manifest.
Hmm. It's interesting. You know, you mentioned 1789 France, and a lot of people remember the terror portion of that. They don't necessarily remember the foundational arguments being made at the beginning of their revolution.
Sure. The question of walk away and the question of our lives is not whether there are some people out there who will do bad things, but rather what are the circumstances in which people's bad nature comes to the fore, or in which a society's most heartless and least empathic people gain the power to act with impunity. It's what is normal and what is abnormal. Is it normal to believe that other people should be exploited if you can think of a way of doing it? Or does that make you a sociopath?
Right. And you mentioned climate change there too. And you mentioned Walk Away, of course, is the title of the novel. And climate change plays a huge part in this world that you've built. But at the same time, I'm wondering if Walk Away isn't almost a question to the reader, are we going to walk away from this decision? Are we going to walk away from the climate change? Is that something that kind of also maybe made it into the pages?
Well, you know, Alistair Gray, he said, live as though it were the first days of a better nation. And a lot of us have tried to do that around climate change. We've tried to recycle our way out of climate change. And you and I cannot individually recycle our way out of climate change. Climate change is a systemic problem that needs systemic solutions. And what Walk Away is it's a novel that's set in the moment in which the number of people who've opted out of the system that refuses to cope with climate change is so big. And the technologies that they have at their disposal to coordinate themselves are so advanced that they can effect a systemic solution to it. In the same way that today you have states that are very large, like California, opting into emissions guidelines, opting into power generation limits and rules that are happening despite inaction or retrograde action at the federal level, at a certain point, large groups of people can make big differences. It's easier when the state goes along with them. Mm-hmm. But the state is a nice to have, not a must have, especially when you can use networks to coordinate your efforts in a way that states have historically allowed us to do.
That was Cory Doctorow. Here's a sliver of his bio. He's the author of the new novel, Walk Away. He's also a blogger and a technology activist.
He is the co-editor of BoingBoing.net and a contributor to many magazines, websites, and newspapers. He's a special consultant to the Electronic Frontier Foundation, a nonprofit civil liberties group that defends freedom in technology, law, policy standards, and treaties. He holds an honorary doctorate in computer science from the Open University in the UK, where he is a visiting professor, and he is also an MIT Media Lab research affiliate. For this segment and all of our segments, please visit kgoradio.com/techonomics and maybe check us out on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/techonomicsradio. I am Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.